And now, the internationally recognized, critically acclaimed, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now another meeting of Lawn Jockeys Anonymous.
All right, maybe we settle down a little bit. My name is Bill, and I had lawn jockeys.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
I know a lot of you guys tell your stories here. I want to tell mine. I had a black lawn jockey and that kind of a deal. Had it out in front of my house. Just go out and look at it, and everything's good. Next thing I know, black family moved in. And
yeah, they got mad, didn't they?
Better believe it. Got all upset. I said, what's the deal here? Oh, it's all racist and everything. So I had to get rid of that damn thing. And then I went, I got a black Aunt Jemima cookie jar.
Yeah.
Thought that'd be fine. My young son goes to school, comes home, he's got a black friend. Kid says, that's all race, you know, all race related and this kind of deal.
I call you like you don't like blacks or something.
That was my point, Chet. Thank you for bringing that up. It's not that I don't like blacks. For geez all Pete's sake, I just enjoy the look of the Jemima. The Jemima relaxed me, but I understand now that Jemima and the jockey are bad for me. And I know a lot of you guys feel the same. All right, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to chair the meeting tonight. No, we got a few visitors in from out of state. Let's bring on Art. Go ahead, Art.
Thank you. My name is Art. I'm a Jemima junkie.
Hey, Art.
I went down to a truck stop, and this is in on the corridor. I don't know, a lot of you guys drive truck on the corridor there between Chattanooga and Atlanta. Now, there is a relatively significantly large pump station there, the truck stop and what have you. In that, I believe it's an ARCO station.
No, it's a mobile.
It's a mobile station, all right, thank you. And they had a Tar Baby display, and I said, hell, I'm pick up a few of those. You guys know what a Tar Baby is?
Yes.
They also had Amos and Andy records, and they had an Uncle Remus and Tar Baby salt and pepper shaker. I went ahead, I bought the damn thing. Guess what? Next thing you know, I'm a member of the Klan. I'm in the Klan. My wife goes, when'd you join the Klan? I go, what the hell? See? So I just swore the whole damn thing off, and that's why I come here, to try to stay away from it. Thank you.
All right, who do we got new today? Is it
your name, Pete? Yeah.
Come on up, Pete.
Hi, my name's Pete, and I'm a tar baby junkie.
All right, yeah.
Every day I just get up, I go, yeah, man, just make it through another day. Just one more day, man. Just one more day. I don't do the old minstrel show thing. You know, I had a whole collection of minstrel show. I had some blackface. Even had a big 8x12 of Ted Danson when he put on the blackface and did that whole whoopee thing.
Yeah.
I get through one day, I'm going to be all right. And that's all I want to say. I want to thank all of you. The guy over here has got the whole Jemima thing going. I know where you're coming from, man.
Yeah, right.
And I just want to say, I go one day without pulling out that laminated copy of a Sambo's menu I got, I'm going to be all right.
All right, yeah.
All right, let's bring up our last guest, and let's bring him up here. It's Jim. He's new to the lawn jockey. Now, come on up, Jim.
Thank you. I got a Jemima and a Tar Baby and Amos and Andy Reckon, too. Now, any of you guys want to buy this stuff, I'll be out back selling out of the trunk of my car a little bit later on.
Lawn Jockeys Anonymous. A funny, funny thing.
Now, any of you guys want a copy of Butterfly McQueen doing that whole old mouth thing, you know? You just, yeah.
Hey, later on tonight on the Phil Hendry Show. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for letting us use the studio.
Yeah, that's all right. You guys can have your lawn jockey meeting here anytime. Later on, we have Clara Bingham speaking of, not speaking of lawn jockeys. We have Clara Bingham. She's going to be on to talk about Condoleezza Rice as a role model. Which, by the way, Gary Trudeau and Oliphant, a few cartoonists, have actually called Condoleezza Rice a big, thick, sort of black field slave, calling Bush Massa. And those guys get away with it. Trudeau gets away with it because he's married to Jane Pauley. That's how he gets away with it. Nobody knows that Gary Trudeau is Jane Pauley's boy. Coming up on the show later in the night, also Steve Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California. He's suing his next-door neighbor yet again. I think he's sued his neighbor about 10 times now, this time for laughing at him. Steve was trying to teach his son safety, and he used a frozen turkey as a facsimile. Person threw it off the roof, and when it didn't break any bones or actually get bruised all that badly, his neighbor laughed at him. So that's later on tonight here on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And I've got a mailbag coming up in just a few minutes. Some emails that we've received. Got a ton of email on Xbox. I told you that this is a phenomenon that is... It's a phenomenon that is really kind of under the radar, or it's missing some people's field of perception and reception, because it's a game, and so people think Xbox being a game is the purview of children or kids or young men, and can't be all that significant. And I'm telling you, if you think that, you're making the same mistake people made when, as I used the example the other day, when the Beatles came to America, dismissing them as just another teen fad, right? Xbox and video games in general are enormous, and this Halo 2 is just sort of the tip of the iceberg of what's going to become, and has become and will continue to be, an enormous cultural movement. Video gaming is as big as... What, bud?
Elvis?
Bigger than Elvis. Bigger than Frank Sinatra. Bigger than...
Jesus.
Well, yeah, maybe even bigger than Jesus. Video gaming has got to be bigger than Christianity, right? Isn't that what Lennon said? He got into trouble with that when he said the Beatles were bigger than Jesus. Well, I think we've actually found something that actually is bigger than Jesus. It's called Halo 2. For all I know, Jesus is playing it right now. So we'll talk about that and...
What about the Rubik's Cube?
The Rubik's... Who played that?
I did.
Yeah, uh-huh. Rubik's Cube. Yeah, it's bigger than that and Pet Rocks. All right, so anyway, the mailbag, Clara Bingham coming up tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, and Steve Bozell, it's all ahead, 1-800-449-8686. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
From Los Angeles, it's the Comb Over Boy Show. Hello, America, and welcome to the Comb Over Boy Show. The different kind of talk show, the different kind of host. Not a right-wing wacko or a left-wing commie fag felon. No, I am your host. We talk about the issues that you really care about. That's right. I got to tell you something just before we get into the program here this evening. I almost thought I had to broadcast from L.A. County Jail. I was picked up for asking kids at a Pee Wee baseball game to show me their underwear for a free Comb Over Boy t-shirt. And the fascist pigs picked me up and put me in jail. But, I'm out. And tonight, let me tell you about something that I found out. A recent stay in jail taught me something very, very valuable. And as you know, if you study Comb Over 101, I know how to get chicks. And I also know how to have a really good time against sex. Anyway, you know all the mind games you have to play? Try to get a woman to bed. Gotta listen to her talk about herself. Actually get to know her. Might even have to respect her. I know a lot of you guys don't want to do.
And so anyway, what I did was I got arrested and was put in jail. And I'm going to tell you guys something right now. It is way easier. Way easier to get sex in jail than it is from some chick on the outside. And I wonder if you found that to be the case as well. You can give me a call right now, 1-800-TOM-YOU-BLOW. That's 1-800-TOM-YOU-BLOW. Or you can call me at 1-800-HOW-MUCH-LONGER-WILL-WESTWOOD-1 pay my salary? 1-800-WHY-AM-I-HERE. I'll take a phone call on this one. Now, this is Jerry. Hi, Jerry. You're on the Comb Over Boy Show.
Hi, Comb Over. How you doing?
Do you care?
Well, I did, but I don't know. It doesn't really matter to me. I hear what you're saying about jail and sex. Isn't that gay sex, though? I mean, isn't that with, like, dudes? I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
All right, he wants to know if that's sex with dudes. So what if it is? What's that got to do with anything? What, are you calling me a fag? Well, just because you have sex with a guy doesn't mean you're gay. And I've tried to make this point over and over and over again. Comes a time when you just can't find it. All those bitches won't put out. And so you're reduced to finding it with guys or farm animals. It doesn't mean that you're gay or into bestiality.
But I've tried to point that to you many times.
So, before you start calling me gay, remember, I'm Comb Over Boy. I do Comb Over 101. I know all about women. I know all about how to get women. I know if you want to find out how to get women, you just listen to my show. Now, getting back to having to have sex in jail, here's Joe. Joe, how you doing?
Very good. I was listening to your broadcast, and you were talking about having sex in jail. I myself have experienced that, and it was quite wonderful, especially if you're the willing recipient of it. I guess I'm asking you, were you? And I'll hang up and I'll listen to your answer.
Well, oh, you're hung up. You gotta hang up.
Okay, I'll hang up and turn my radio down.
All right, thank you. Well, look, I wore a mop, put on my head a mop wig, and I felt rather attractive, so I guess yes. I'd say that it was something that I enjoyed. All right, listen. By the way, that comb-over mop wig, we're giving it away this hour. Next time you find yourself in jail, there's plenty of sex in jail. Take it from me, comb-over. We'll be getting those comb-over boy mop wigs out to you. Part of your comb-over 101 bumper stickers, so you can drive around with that on your car, and people will know right away from about 300 yards what a lame ass you really are. All right, this is the comb-over show. I'll be right back.
The Comb Over Boy Show. We'll be right back.
Thank you, Comb Over. That was great. It's time now for a letter bag here on the Phil Hendry Show. It's good advice, though. If you're looking for sex, it's always readily available, guys. In jail. Phil, please try to get back on. And this is from Matt. Please try to get back on in San Francisco. We miss you here. They replaced you with Bill Freaking O'Reilly. Well, that tells you exactly what that station's about. They take me off and put Bill O'Reilly on. I guess it was they'd had enough of the shtick and they want to get back to the whatever it is they're getting back to. They got a real genius up there, man. Just take it off the bird anyway. Like, I really need more of the same old boring news talk. Please come back, Matt. Here is a letter that says, I've been hoping Scott Peterson would call in. Maybe he could give us an update from the Slammer since it's such a special day for him. Have a great weekend, your pal Mick. A bit from last week, this is from Steve, where Annalise calls in to find out how to get you on your, or how to get your website. She types forever, and then she can only get the www in, and then she finally says, nope, still porn. Is one of the funniest short bits I've ever heard on your show in a long time. I played it over and over and nearly pee myself. Great show. Keep up the great support of our troops in the Austin original comedy. You earn my $7 every month. P.S. Vernon Dozier's incredible. When he sparred with the Egyptian woman and claimed she was going to turn him into a werewolf, I couldn't stop laughing. But then when his nurse claimed to love the show and then added with Baba Booey, I totally lost it. You say WWW more than any other radio personality I've heard. Congratulations. Oh, more clearly than any other radio person. Well, thank you, sir. Something I... But in the very early days of broadcast, they said the letter is W, so I practiced it. You hear a lot of guys say W. Well, that's because they're tards. Go ahead, bud. Say W.
W.
See, that's just... Dear Phil, could you enlighten me on the origin of the word savvy and why it elicits such laughter from you and the crew? I've heard it mentioned on the show a few times recently. Sincerely curious and love the show. Tony Allison, Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. Well, savvy, it simply means, do you understand? And now, where it originated, I guess, Chris, you could check that out for us, but I originally became re-enamored of the word when I heard it repeated by Ike Clanton in Tombstone, as in the phrase, law don't go around here, law dog, savvy.
Law don't go around here, law dog, savvy.
You had Mr. Jim Sadler talking about how Tracy told his daughter and her mother that her mother was an alcoholic as a way to punish her. Towards the end, Sadler got in it with a young caller about how she should know how much money her father pays in alimony. Well, there was a weird story where a guy donated one of his kidneys but wasn't paying child support. His daughter was quoted saying that she was not impressed and only wants the money, forget the kidney. Jason Ruggiero was in the news of it recently. Okay, this guy goes on and on and on about how the Iraqis, some cat, talking about ragheads and stuff. We also got a really interesting letter from a Marine in Iraq talking about how... I got to read the section of the letter, but it's so long I can't really get into the entire thing. But he's sitting there with his mates, and apparently they hit a enemy site, and one of the enemy, who they call Haji... The Marines call him Haji, got on his cell phone and said they missed me, but they got so-and-so's house. Well, because he got on the cell phone to talk to one of his pals, the Marines retargeted that guy's house, and when they hit it, it was like 4th of July, just an ammo dump went up, this clown getting on his cell phone. According to this guy, and the letter he wrote, he said they're very tough fighters, but they're not very bright, is the way he put it. He says Haji's kind of stupid and kind of predictable. Dear Phil, I've had first-hand experience with the whole Xbox cracking down with modifications. Online gaming with Xbox is a subscription service, which is $50 a year. The subscription allows you to play online against Xbox Live members all over the world. Hence, it is controlled by the FCC. Well, you were right then, Mark. I just wonder why it is you can't make modifications if you're not playing online. And, well, I guess they can't really realize it. Guy also goes on to say it helps him bond with his son. They can talk nasty about chicks and everything while they're playing Xbox. That's great. Phil has said many times that his show is not like the Jerky Boys, but Crank Yankers isn't the same as the Jerky Boys. Therefore, Crank Yankers isn't like Phil. If anything, the Jerky Boys should be whining about Phil. I like Phil's show, but his constant whining gets boring. Besides, the Jamie Kennedy experiment is a ripoff of Candid Camera, not Phil. And Ali G, please, he probably never heard of you. Not every show that started after 1996 is influenced by Phil. Why doesn't he take credit for Lust and Desperate Housewives? That's probably next week. No, I actually am going to be writing a letter to ABC about the fact that they stole that idea from me. And so it ain't going to be next week, it's this week. So kiss it, man. Hey, Phil, can I suggest Condoleezza Rice as Bud's next babe of the week? Cheers, Pierre Dubord. Another letter on how a lot of people wrote and said they dug Team America. I'm very happy. Why don't you write the guys, Trey Parker and Matt Stone? I think they'll really dig that. Here's another list. It says, I caught some of Phil's show tonight, sometime between 9 and 9:30. He was talking about the Arafat funeral looking like a mosh pit. Boy, did he get that right, apparently. Here's what the LA Times said about it on their webpage. Amid a scene that at times resembled a rock concert out of control, it took pallbearers more than an hour to fight their way through a sea of mourners to reach the burial site. What is it, Phil, about those fist-pumping mobs in the wacky Middle East? And finally, this letter. I'm from Canada, Winnipeg to be exact, and I'm a backstage pass holder. In regards to your rant yesterday about you Americans invading us, when do you plan on doing it? Because I, for one, can't wait. Things are far more screwy here than most like to admit. I, for one, will gladly raise the stars and stripes. Sincerely, Damien. Now, that's a little bit of our mailbag. We'll get into a little bit more later on in the program. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget Clara Bingham coming up at... in the next hour, as long as you're hanging around. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up, we got Clara Bingham, and we have Steve Bozell filing a lawsuit having to do with dropping a turkey off the roof of his house. I don't know what this is about, but we'll find out. And other little moments of joy coming up on the show. Here is a quote from this letter from this member of the Marine Corps in Fallujah, and he says, it's just a diary that he keeps. He says, I got another one you'll like. Airstrike went in on the outskirts of Fallujah, targeting a specific building, hiding some foreign fighters from Syria or Chechnya trying to infiltrate. Good hit, target destroyed. About 30 seconds later, my radio battalion guy monitors a cell phone call from a terrorist cell leader saying the Americans missed me, but they just hit, and the name is edited out. They just hit his house across the street. Well, we called the air dogs back and had them retarget and run another strike. Big boom. Secondary explosions all over the place from a weapons ammunition cache they had in the house that idiot just called from. Thanks for the assist, Haji. He's doing a one-on-one interview with Allah right now. If this wasn't so deadly serious, that would have been funny as hell. Truth be told, we're all still cracking up about it 2 days later. He goes on to say, I swear to God, Fallujah's like Detroit on steroids during Halloween. It's time we just need to clear that whole damn city in zone. Just waiting for the word. Mount Battalion, HG, COC, and ALOC, I don't know what those are in the old chicken factory from Saddam's days. Good facility, strong structure. We have hardened it with wood. Oh, I guess it's another command post that they set up that Saddam had. We've hardened it with wood metal. It has taken two direct mortar hits with no effect. That's got to be pissing Haji off. Main job is keeping the MSRs open for convoys, checkpoints, and combat outposts at each bridge and overpass. And then finally, the very last comment. He says, these so-called insurgents are the worst kind of freaking cowards I've ever seen. I thought the Somalis were bad, but at least they had some drug-induced courage. The battalion adjacent to us had a hit on a damn school bus in the AO the other day, targeting elementary school kids of junior new Iraqi government officials. Their ops officer told me the Marines were having to pick up kids' arms and legs from off the tops of buildings. Bet you're not seeing this crap on CNN. The ops officer also told me his Marines are truly pissed because they're deadly quiet as hell right now, not loud as usual, but quiet and focused, looking for some real payback. The day is coming. He's right. You're right, man. We don't see it on CNN. If we did, then people would have to change their opinion about this war. And why do they want to do that, right? Why would we want to get people all upset? So, no, you're not going to see that on CNN, man. What you will see, though, is the endless replaying of that Marine walking up and shooting that raghead. That was by the way, that was the same day of the aid worker dying. She was shot in the back of the head. She was had her hands tied. And I think she was blindfolded. They shot her, right? Okay, so they don't play that over and over again, but they're playing this Marine walking up to this raghead that was laying there that 3 seconds before was trying to kill him. So he walks up, sees the guy breathing, and plugs him. And do you understand, folks? Do you realize that because of that publicity, because of NBC embedding their cameraman, that platoon has been pulled out of action, that Marine is now under investigation because of NBC, because of Tom Brokaw. Because these meddling nitwits in New York, rather, all those guys, all they want to do is get more Marines killed. They're just trying to get soldiers killed. It's like Michael Moore. I mean, the more those guys die, the better they look. And here's why. Because if they die, then those cats look right when they say, oh, this war's crap, right? So if they could get a few more soldiers killed, then it makes them look good. And all the people that dig them, all these people that are just sucking on Michael Moore's kneecaps, oh, yeah, you're so right, man. Look at all them dead soldiers, right? Moore can't wait to put another dead one up on his website. He's got a picture of Bush that's created out of dead people, dead Marines, dead American soldiers. He can't wait to cram another one in there. And God knows how many people he's gotten killed. I actually emailed Michael Moore the other day. I just asked him this question. I said, hey, man, how many soldiers do you think you've gotten killed over there by the fact that Osama bin Laden watched your movie, like in depth, apparently, took all kinds of inspiration from it, sent out little marching orders, and probably wasted a few more American soldiers as the result? I mean, I bet you Moore has been responsible for at least 1,000 guys dying over there. Oh, geez, that would just about make all of them. Now, on top of that, you got this other guy, Brokaw, over there at NBC with his embedded cameraman. When they say embedded cameraman, what are they talking about?
I wouldn't want to guess.
Has it got anything to do with Tom?
Probably.
I'll bet he's embedded.
And there he is with the film, taking film footage of that Marine doing what comes natural, doing exactly what anybody would do. Guy's breathing. A minute ago, he was shooting at you. You're going to shoot him, and you're going to kill him. That's what they do. As a result, that guy's been pulled out of action. The platoon's been pulled out. Everybody's wringing their hands, all of the crybabies, everybody weeping and moaning, and, oh, God, the poor innocent Iraqi who just was trying to kill an American. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with killing Americans? We ought to be able to be, you know, we should take that, like you know, the Western civilized people that we are. It's almost like this. When you guys get killed over there in America, you ought to just take it, you know, like it's cool. Because, after all, you deserve it. But when you kill a raghead, that's a war crime because they're like third world and they should be allowed to go and kill people and not get any payback. I mean, that's the logic that I'm hearing, right? So anyway, NBC sends their cameraman over there. And rather than show, for instance, the video that we were just discussing, this Marine was talking about where the insurgents murdered a whole busload of kids, they don't want to show that. Because that means the dude would have to be hanging out with insurgents, and who knows, he might get his head sawed off. He instead takes the video of the Marine doing, I'm going to tell you something right now, I hope they're doing that every day, what that guy did. Every single day, I hope they're walking up to him lying on the ground and putting another one in their head just to make sure they're dead. Because that saves the life of one of our guys. That's all I'm interested in. I don't know about anybody else.
Well, I looked up embedded. It has something to do with gay sex, and
I don't want to know. You looked up embedded. I asked you to look up savvy.
It's right here.
Savvy. Okay, that's what I got. Savvy is from the Latin word what? Sabere? And it means to be wise. And then it was taken and was sort of transmuted into Spanish as some other word. And so it basically is from Latin or Spanish, folks. That's what savvy is. And it means to be wise. You savvy? 1-800-449-8686. On Thanksgiving weekend, the Bobby Dooley Marathon. That's right, six solid hours of Booby and her husband Steve as they continue to cavort through the wonderland that is Western Estates and the Western States Homeowners Association. That's on Thanksgiving weekend, Thursday and Friday, the Bobby Dooley Marathon. And if you'd like, you can hook up with some Bobby Dooley gear on our website at www.philhenryshow.com in our souvenir shop. And don't forget the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD available at our souvenir shop. It's called Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kitties in Hollywood, California. Clara Bingham and Steve Bozell will be my special guests tonight when we return on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. -800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Coming up, Clara Bingham on our show as she talks about Condoleezza Rice. Is she a role model? Well, she could be if she would just cop to a few things. And also we have Mr. Stephen Bozell, who is going to file a lawsuit against his next-door neighbor for laughing at him after he dropped a turkey off the roof of his house. Greek lawyers are thinking of suing Warner Brothers because in the film Alexander, they suggest that Alexander the Great was a bisexual. Now, that's something that you kind of heard throughout your life in school, and anytime anybody brought up Alexander, oh, you know, they didn't say he was bisexual. They basically said he was a homosexual is what they said. And they're suing because of that. Now, they make and obviously they're suing because they feel it denigrates Alexander the Great. Now, if you think about it, homosexuality is not an illegal orientation, nor is it an illegal sexual practice, if you will. It's used to be, but it isn't anymore. So you're constitutionally sort of protected to be the person that you are if you want to be. So what are they going to be suing Warner Brothers for exactly? Well, what they're saying is, we don't have anything against gay people. We just don't like the movie claiming it is fact. And that's an interesting argument. Because the definition of slander, frankly, is saying something that isn't true. Not necessarily negative, but that isn't true. You could sue Oliver Stone and Warner Brothers on the basis that the film Alexander is not telling the truth because it says that Alexander the Great is a bisexual, and they feel he is a, you know, he wasn't a bisexual. But how do you know, right? Well, they say that there is nothing, absolutely nothing in the historical record, nothing that shows that Alexander the Great was a homosexual or a bisexual. It's just all anecdotal. Well, of course, it's anecdotal. Who's going to write that stuff down? I don't know if the historians, especially Greek historians, was he Greek? Well, what the hell he was? He would know. He was Persian. Alexander was Persian. Oh, no, maybe he was Greek. Well, if he's Greek, he's got to be gay. No, I'm kidding. In other words, I don't know who would write that kind of thing down if they made specific reference to it. But anyway, the guy goes on to say, we can't come out and say that Kennedy was a shooting guard for the L.A. Lakers. And so Warner Brothers can't say that Alexander was gay. He's right. He's saying that that's exactly what it would be like if you said that John Kennedy, the president of the United States, was also a shooting guard for the L.A. Lakers. You're lying, it's not true, and you can't say it. And so therefore, you can't say that Alexander the Great was a queen. There is a little bit of revisionism going on with history so as to kind of bring everybody into the fold. You know, if you're a woman, or if you're black, or if you're an Indian, or if you're any kind of minority, sometimes history is not written, or shall I say, history is improperly rewritten to include homosexual or female or black characters or black individuals when there isn't any real proof of it. Now, I'm not saying that happens all the time, and there's a far bigger problem, and that is excluding those people from the historical record. And that happens all the time, especially African Americans. There has been active exclusion of those guys from history for the longest time. One wonders why, but it has happened. Especially in the 20th century, that's what's really crazy. The 20th century, you'd think by then we'd have gotten our act together in recording history, but we really made an effort at excluding blacks from the historical record, especially this country, for some kind of kooky reason. I don't know, you know, it's going to piss off white folks or make them feel, you know, bad or something. Oliver Stone was quoted on an MSNBC website as telling the upcoming edition of Playboy that the film's depiction of Alexander could offend some. We go into his bisexuality. It may offend some people, but sexuality in those days was a different thing, he was quoted as saying. You know, this guy Stone is a real piece of work. Have you ever heard the guy talk? He really thinks he's got it all down, you know? He's a filmmaker, and I heard this guy interviewed, and I said, okay, now I get it. Guess what he was saying? He was all upset over the fact that anybody can make a movie now. It's lost its specialness. It's lost its, you know, anyone can make a movie. It's just not special anymore. Well, you're right, it ain't special anymore, man. And you're right, anybody can make a movie, and that's the definition of art. Everybody can do it. I guess that means people are going to have to start making better movies, because there's so many people making movies that they can only get better. I mean, the competition, in other words, might be a little stiffer, if you'll pardon the expression, stiffer in use in a conversation about Alexander the Great being bi. You know, you just ain't the artiste you were anymore there, Ollie. Anybody ever call you Ollie? You know, it just isn't the special thing it used to be. Everybody's got a video camera. Everybody's got a film camera. Everybody's going out and they're making their movies. I think it's fantastic. Go out and make a movie. I think I'll go out tomorrow and make a movie. Go out tomorrow, make a movie. I'll, you know, sell it. Why not, huh? It just isn't special. I understand what he means about professionalism, but... All right, so anyway, 200 years ago, in Macedonia, where Alexander the Great was born, an archaeological symposium was stormed by a bunch of Greeks after one speaker presented a paper on the homosexuality of Alexander. Police were called in to evacuate the participants. Be kind of like coming out that George Washington was gay. Would that bum us out? With them wooden teeth? Be kind of a drag, wouldn't it? People are still trying to get around the whole Thomas Jefferson owned slaves thing. They're still trying to somehow make that cool. They had a wonderful love affair. Well, I suppose she didn't have much choice. A lot of folks thought Abraham Lincoln was gay. Most of them in the South. A lot of folks thought Robert E. Lee was gay, most of them in the North. Then there's the fact that it's been repeated that Patton was gay, Eisenhower was gay, George C. Scott, who played Patton, was gay.
Mom's Mabley might have been a lesbian. We don't know. There's also some talk, and I don't know whether this is true or not, that I'm gay. But I can't really confirm or deny that. It's like it's a rough thing, man. Are you gay or are you not? You better come out and talk about it. Coming up later on, we'll have Clara Bingham talking about that very thing as it pertains to Condoleezza Rice.
You are gay, though, aren't you?
I didn't say that I was gay, did I?
But, well, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm married to a woman.
Yeah, you don't have no kids, though.
Yeah, I got stepkids.
Yeah, maybe it's on account of you don't really want to have the sex to make a kid.
No, bud, the reason why I don't have kids is because I had a vasectomy.
Well, that's another excuse you could use. Well, I have sex with a vasectomy. When in point of fact, you want to avoid contact with human female.
What are you all of a sudden, Kinsey? You don't know anything about me, man, other than what I tell you. No, I ain't gay.
Would you be ashamed if you was?
You can leave now, bud. I don't need any more of your comments. No, I wouldn't be ashamed if I was.
Rock Hudson used to say he had a vasectomy, too. Come out when he died, he gay.
It come out when he died.
All right, I gotta leave now. See you later, Tinkerbell.
I'm gonna smack you, man. Oh, it's gonna hurt when I do, too. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Clara Bingham. Coming up Monday, we have Robert Green. Bob Green, who is the CEO of Fraser Foods. Mr. Green, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, Phil. It's enjoyable listening to your program.
Mr. Green, you are the CEO of Fraser Foods, which is... Tell me a little bit about your company.
Phil, we are a chain of 15 grocery stores in the Southwest. We specialize in service to private consumer. We also have a health food section, and we have a part ownership in a health food chain called Werewolf Foods.
Werewolf Foods?
Yeah. Is there some problem that you're...
What are... That's a...
Well, if you want to laugh about it, but it happens to be a...
It's a health food chain called Werewolf Foods.
Why are you laughing?
Well, why is it called Werewolf Foods?
Because Whole Foods was taken.
All right, let me just...
I didn't come on a program to be laughed at.
Well, wait a minute. Whole Foods is the name of a very well-known health foods chain here in California. I get that. So because Whole Foods was taken, you call yours Werewolf Foods.
Yes.
Well, why does it have to be that?
Because we already painted the WF on our trucks.
Oh, so Whole Foods...
We thought we could use Whole Foods. We found out it was taken. They said, come up with another W, and I came up with Werewolf. you could drop right down to the fifth ring and rotten cook.
All right, man. I'm going to go to Werewolf and pick up some vitamin C. I'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I have Clara Bingham with me. Ms. Bingham, a middle school teacher from Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California. Condoleezza Rice, you say, is not yet a role model.
No, Phil, she is not yet in what we call the club. We have a great many wonderful role models for our young African-American women. Whoopi Goldberg, Ms. Denzel Washington, Condoleezza Rice. Elevation to the post of Secretary of State is a wonderful thing, but there is a little bit of a black eye on it that she won't clear up the question surrounding her sexuality.
Well, you're saying that right now, without Condoleezza Rice, the black female role models for young women, African-American women, are limited?
No, I don't think they're limited at all.
All right.
Probably the strongest black female role model that we have in the African-American community is Whoopi Goldberg, because of her opposition to the war in Iraq and her commentary on the Bush administration. She's also a woman who is very controversial, but she's also, and I think this needs to be pointed out, she is a straight woman who can set the right family-oriented example. If Condoleezza Rice wants into that club, she's got to answer the questions.
Questions regarding what? Her sexuality?
The question most people have at this hour is, she a lesbian or not?
Well, here again, we have this need to know someone's sexuality. Why is it important if, in Miss Rice's case, or in anyone who is a public figure's case, to know what their sexual orientation is?
Well, a strong black female, I'm glad you asked the question, Phil. A strong black female role model is always needed in the African-American community. We certainly need more. We've got a great many strong male role models. General Powell, Dara DeMont, the manufacturer, our entertainers. But black female role models are also needed, and there are a number of women who are always trying to get that club. Condoleezza Rice entered the public arena, and this was a wonderful thing that happened, but it has become a bit tainted because of her lesbianism. And we need to clear that up before we can have her take the place of a Whoopi or a Janet Jackson or someone. I'm just saying that Condoleezza Rice wants in, and we would like to let her in. But we have to get some things cleared up.
Well, what if Miss Rice were to come out, commenting on her sexual orientation, and say that she is, in fact, gay? Is that a negative?
Well, it does impact her ability to communicate with young black women who will want to instead listen to a Whoopi Goldberg because she's not gay, or a woman like Halle Berry. Both of these women have strong heterosexual tendencies that I think at this time are needed in the African-American community if we are to see our race survive.
Why do you say, what do you mean survive?
What? I'm sorry?
Why do you say survive? As in survive having babies?
Well, in terms of being able to create families, yes. And Condoleezza Rice, if she insists on continuing to be a lesbian or won't clear up the question, runs the risk of influencing young black women to not start families, but instead take up a lifestyle that may be non-traditional.
Well, I think that is very unlikely to happen. Even if she is gay, because I don't think that people are going to look to her for that kind of example.
Well, unfortunately, Phil, you are not black and you're not a woman. And so, as a black female, I'm speaking from the standpoint of being a spokesperson for the young black woman. Before you are going to knock down a traditional role model, and I mentioned Whoopi Goldberg, Janet Jackson, I mentioned these women, because they have been held up, you're going to have to come to the table if you want the club. And young black women will continue to see the other strong black female members.
Well, there's a number of black women who have served in Congress. What about them?
I'm just saying we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. That's all.
Yeah, of all the things I've heard talked about when it comes to Condoleezza Rice, it hasn't been her sexuality, although some people have hinted. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Clara Bingham is an educator talking about if Condoleezza Rice wants in the club of role model for young black females, she's going to have to come clean on her sexuality. What makes you think she's a lesbian?
I'm just saying it's anecdotal. There have been things that have been said. You do not see her in the company of a man too often. And I do not want to comment. I do not want to comment negatively on a woman's sexual orientation. But I am saying that if she wants to replace...
And what if she doesn't?
Well, then she's not a role model. She is not, I don't think, a role model for young, strong, black, female women who want, yes, an educated black woman to look up to. But they don't want to have to look up to someone who is non-traditional, to coin a phrase, freaky and like that. You know, she is... a little freaky looking, and that's all right. And,
Well, now you're talking about her looks, so you're not talking about...
But, it all goes into the same equation. You walk around with the world, and you're wearing that helmet do of hers, and we are always...
Well, look, as the Secretary of State, if I could jump in, you realize that Ms. Rice is going to be encountering a lot weirder-looking people. I mean, that guy Kim Jong-il ain't exactly, the best-looking guy.
But she is representing young black female. And if there's one thing young black women know how to do, and one thing they do very well, and that is certainly personal grooming and knowing how to wear it and show it. Condoleezza Rice... As I was communicating on a number of levels on a website with some people, I was posting some messages and we were going back and forth. And someone said that she you know, she's a real freaky looking woman. And I'm just saying,
well, doesn't it, you know, as an educator, doesn't it kind of bother you that our conversation is denigrated to this level?
I don't see it as being denigrated.
Well, that we're talking about Condoleezza Rice's looks and how she's freaky looking. If you want to know, I think that the woman...
Well, is there a butch? If you want me to use the word butch, I can use it.
It's not butch at all, and I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe she doesn't have the most attractive hairdo in the world, but I do not find her, and I'm speaking as a straight man, I do not find her unattractive. She's got a nice feminine way about her. She's, you know, a non-traditional beauty, but I think you could actually say that she is beautiful.
I don't know.
And you're talking about Whoopi Goldberg being a role model. Would you call her beautiful?
I don't think Ms. Goldberg has to be beautiful. I think she represents great strength of women and the way she is all... She got up in a bush's face and all that. You know, she don't have to... she doesn't have to cough up because she's got substance. And I'm just saying, does Condoleezza Rice have substance? And
of course she does. She's well educated.
But is she gay? If she's a lesbian, that blots out a lot. And I'm just trying to get to the point where we do not have to worry so much about her sexual orientation.
I've never heard anybody say that being gay blots out a lot in terms of character.
No, you said substance, not character.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Clara Bingham joins us, a middle school teacher on Condoleezza Rice. Is she a good role model? Can she be a good role model for young black women if she is gay? Here's Jim on the Phil Henry Show. Jim, go ahead.
Yes, I have to wonder, the example that your guest decided for positive black female role model seems a little jaded to me. Whoopi Goldberg goes on a tirade disrespecting the President of the United States in such a manner that it can't be repeated to the young people that your caller teaches. Janet Jackson, sex with her clothes on and partly off at the Super Bowl. Halle Berry, she's a great actress, but, you know, topless and the middle school kids can't watch her. I'm just not...
Well, when was Halle Berry topless? I don't know what this caller is referring to.
Well, she, the movie with John Travolta, Swordfish.
But she's an actress, and I think that these young women, when they are in their art, of course, they are appearing in film. But no, you're right, young people cannot see. But Whoopi Goldberg, I think, is a very...
And you mentioned, I'm sorry, but I'll interrupt. You mentioned that Whoopi was an opportunity to save, I think your words were save your race, but the last I heard, she was living with a white guy.
Well, Whoopi Goldberg, no, she is not living with a white man. She played played around with a Ted Danson, but that's that.
And Frank Angelica.
Frank who?
Yeah, I can't pronounce him.
Well, right now I think Whoopi is she loves to mess around and all that, but she's gonna hang with a black man when the time comes.
Well,
but the problem is, you see, first of all, even if she were to marry a white man, the product of that marriage would be black. Even if it got white blood, it's considered octoroon or quadroon or that kind of thing, you know.
No, ma'am, I'm sorry, but I really think you're stretching for attention here, just like the ladies that, I'll take Hallie out of the equation, but just like the ladies that you mentioned, Whoopi does what she does to get attention, Janet does what she does to get attention, and I think that's what you're doing. I think you're making her attention.
No, I'm certainly not. I think that Condoleezza Rice has been, she has been presented to black women as a role model. I just simply want to know, is she gay or not? Is she the lesbianism? If Whoopi Goldberg were to marry a white man, the quadroon or octoroon offspring would be considered quadroon or full-on Negro.
Well, and you know we can argue that.
Yeah,
later.
Yeah. That's a whole other thing, right?
I have to say that I'm concerned that we've got folks with your substance teaching middle school students.
No, I'm not.
I don't understand what her sexual orientation has to do with, A, the fact that she does a good job, and B, whether people can look up to her for having succeeded in a field.
Well, we had already the example of President Clinton. He brought that Janet Reno in. She was big, a big butch dyke. What we're looking for...
Now, hold on for a minute. There's an awful lot of... I want to say colloquialisms being used here that I find a little bit offensive. Janet Reno was a big butch dyke.
Well, yeah, I don't think the caller would disagree with that.
No,
do we need another one is what I'm trying to say. Do we need yet another one? That's all I'm saying.
Do we need another dyke? Is that what you're saying?
I'm trying to set an example for young black females, that's all.
All right, look, Jim, I thank you for your call. I got to move on to another phone call and move on to a break. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. On the line with me is Clara Bingham. She is a middle school teacher at Joyful Union Congregation. We're talking about Condoleezza Rice as a role model for African-American females. Is she a proper role model? Is she going to come out and come clean about her sexuality? What will it mean if she says she's gay? And that young black women, frankly, already have quality role models, from Whoopi Goldberg to Halle Berry to, and I'm quoting directly Ms. Bingham, the woman that's married to Denzel Washington, end quote. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Survivor Compton.
one 800 449 8686, and now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, mention that then, Ms. Bingham. Clara Bingham was joined us, an educator. You said something that is really piqued my attention. You're talking about Condoleezza Rice showing up black women?
No, I don't believe I said it that way, Phil.
I think I'm using your words when we were talking off the air.
No, I did not say that. I said that right now among African American women, there is not the highest per capita level of education. And Condoleezza Rice and black women like her can only serve to look down their nose at a black woman. She's there with the President of the United States, and she rides on his jet, and she's sitting in his house, and she's playing piano and all that. And there's not a lot of black women get to do that. So I'm very concerned that a young black female is going to look at Condoleezza Rice and go, well, she thinks she's some kind of, she thinks she's almost white. Now,
well, you've got a number of criticisms of this woman, from her alleged homosexuality to the fact that she may think she's white.
Of course I do, and I think it is only right, given the fact the woman has been thrown right into the face of black women as if she is fait accompli, de facto, new role model for black women. Whoopi Goldberg has worked very hard to attain the level of respect she's got. You want me to knock her off the pedestal for Condoleezza Rice? Additionally, the orthodontic question, of course, the kickbacks.
Well, I don't know that President Bush has any kind of a tie-in with the American Orthodontic Association. To say that because, she has, a space between her teeth, that somehow Bush is going to benefit from her getting braces is anecdotal at best.
But I think it needs to be looked into.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Terry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Clara Bingham.
Oh, my gosh. This woman is just scary. The fact that you're in our educational system is just unbelievable. I am a white professional teacher. And, honey, if you were German and white, you'd be Hitler.
Don't talk down to me because you're white, please.
Sweetie, it doesn't have anything to do with that.
Don't call me sweetie and honey, and don't call me names. I have not, of the two of us, I've shown a higher level of education than you. I've not stooped to name-calling.
Okay, all right, we won't call it name-calling. You know what? We'll call it misinformed or racist. How's that?
It might stretch your mind a little to think of those words, but I would appreciate it.
I think the mind that needs to be stretched is yours. You have a diplomat representing your race, an educated woman with a PhD.
I thought she represents the American people.
She is representing your race. You're upset.
Oh, so she's
you
not
didn't have a positive role model for your race, and
role
now
metal?
You're the one that you do have that isn't bearing her breasts on TV,
you just
or fathering
she...
children out of wedlock and
you
calling people
called...
bitches and hoes.
You just called
you
her
have
a role
actually
metal.
Degraded a PhD
You do not
lady,
know your words.
That's insane.
You said degrenigrated. You said metal.
Denigrated.
You know, you said degrenigrated.
You know
well,
what?
That's mistake
that's
number three that
I
you
am
made.
So upset that you are even giving
can
time
I ask you a question?
This.
So you don't think that Condoleezza Rice, standing up there looking all David Letterman-like, and...
What is your issue with looks?
Yeah, what is the looks thing?
Because we have had a great many beautiful young black women representing us for a great many years. Now I got this David Letterman look-alike.
Okay, first of all,
coming up
I don't
all
think
that,
she has red
man.
Hair, and I don't think she's Irish, but and she's not male, but go for it.
Have you seen her teeth? Enough said.
Honey, I don't care if she has the teeth of a freaking mule if she can get the job done as Secretary of State.
Well, I
cannot
know,
believe.
I don't. Well, you can't believe it. I've been nothing but called names since you got on the air. And I would also say I don't know if she can get the job done if people are fixated on that crazy hairdo, the funny-looking teeth and everything.
You
else.
Are absolutely
Are you
amazing.
Telling me, wait a minute, are you telling me that if she goes in front of a foreign leader and she has got some strange sexuality or some strange looks, they're going to fixate on that?
I am looking for positive role models for young black females.
You've got one.
Whoopi
she's
Goldberg.
A PhD diplomat.
Whoopi
she's not...
What about Whoopi Goldberg and what she's done on behalf of UNICEF?
Whoopi Goldberg is a comedian who has done some good things. I will give you that. But that is a far cry from having a PhD and being a diplomat and being respected by world leaders.
Well, I will tell you, we have a woman now who's going to fly in Air Force One and has teeth like a sugarcane farmer. I don't know whether or not this woman
You are
has
the most
the
racist
credential.
Person I've ever met. Louis Farrakhan and you need to get together
well,
and have teeth.
For a white woman, I don't know where you, you know, if you can actually say that, but I will say, how does criticizing someone's
Sweetie,
teeth...
Sweetie, I got news
how,
for
how
you.
How does criticizing someone's teeth make them racist?
Never have I owned slaves. My family has never owned slaves.
How
I've
you know?
Got friends that are black,
well,
and I love my black friends.
I don't
but
know
you
whether
know,
or not you can go back in history and know that all your white people
you
have owned slaves.
You know what? Stupidity knows no race. Knows no race.
Well,
stupidity is an equal opportunity employer, and you, sweetie, are on the payroll.
Well, I don't think you can say your people didn't own slaves. You didn't know all of them. You don't know the whole history.
Honey, you know what?
If
they did own slaves, I didn't own slaves.
Well,
we're not
going
to go back to that issue.
It's still your fault. You're still to blame.
Oh my God, you're so amazing. I've got to hang
you
out.
You are to blame. No, you are racist. You wanted me to say Negro teeth. You didn't want me to say sugarcane farmer teeth.
No,
hey,
I think
I
the
don't
lady
care
is.
What you say.
All right, look.
Oh, my God. You
all right,
know what?
Terry,
I'm going to go
I'm
put my white hood on and go to a lynching.
There,
please.
You finally said it. That's it.
All right, Terry, thank you. I think you're very badly characterizing our callers.
I think your callers, Mr. Henry, are misunderstanding it.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Condoleezza Rice, is she a role model for black women? It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Fair and balanced. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with Clara Bingham, middle school teacher from Joyful Young Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California, about Condoleezza Rice and her suitability to be a role model for young black females, considering she hasn't come out about her sexuality. And this is your opinion, Ms. Bingham, not mine, that she is a non-traditional-looking person.
So I want to also say something. This was a point I made with you last week. On television right now is a television commercial featuring a young black man by the name of Terrell Owens. He is a football player on a Philadelphia Eagles football team. And there is a white woman who is in a bath towel. I think it is utterly degrading, utterly despicable, and goes right to the core of what it was I was saying to you about white women chasing black men. Now... And this commercial occurred right after I spoke to you about that.
I don't know that it's racial.
I think it is. And for you to say, or for your callers to say, that Condoleezza Rice is suitable to replace a Whoopi Goldberg. You know, just speaking just in terms of being an average television viewer, Whoopi Goldberg has been a center square on Hollywood Square for a great many years. Whoopi Goldberg has brought joy to thousands and millions and thousands. And Condoleezza Rice, a very non-traditional looking black female, the National Association of Orthodontics meeting in Houston, Texas in 2003 had invited President Bush to be a keynote speaker on the ceramic bracket technology that they were investigating. I find it highly unusual and highly suspect that 1 year after speaking at the American Association of Orthodontics, he nominates for Secretary of State a woman who got the teeth like that. And you may find that amusing. You may find that clownish, or that I'm clowning. But I can assure you, I see this white woman with Terrell Owens, and I ask myself, what kind of black role models do we have?
Well, you did say that white women were chasing black men, and that ABC spot on Monday Night Football did pop out days after. But we're going to want to, you know, kind of hone in here on Condoleezza Rice.
I understand.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is JJ on the Phil Henry Show with Clara Bingham and Phil Henry. Go ahead, JJ.
Yes, hi, Phil.
Hi.
How are you today?
Fine, ma'am.
And as well to you, Clara.
How are
you? First of all, there's a few points that I've noticed that sort of bring to mind a little bit of just I'm confused as how you can think, first of all, that Condoleezza Rice is not a good role model for black Americans. I think she's a great role
model
for women alone because she is a very well-educated, very well-spoken, incredibly intelligent woman. And I don't think that it matters what her sexuality is or is not. First of all, she always comes across as a classy lady.
Yeah, she does.
With a very, very high
Why is she not out of the closet? And why can't she just go ahead and say, out of what closet?
What does that have to?
I'm a black woman. Are you black?
It doesn't matter if I'm black.
Well, I'm African American, and I'm speaking from some level of knowledge on being an African American female.
Level of knowledge?
I don't appreciate.
I'm assuming you're about 55 years
old. I am in my mid-50s. I'm stuck in 1967. I was actually a young girl. I'm stuck maybe in 1960. Well, you are a young woman who doesn't know history as well as the future.
Oh, I do that.
And
I understand reverse discrimination.
Well, I'm just saying she's like that flying Air Force One. She's a little stiff.
Moving to Richmond, Virginia.
I think she's a little stiff, don't you think?
I was a Southern girl.
Don't you think Condoleezza Rice a little stiff and have the buck teeth?
No, I don't. I think she's very intelligent.
And what about
the
teeth?
She has a commanding presence.
I want to know. I want a direct answer to my question. What about the teeth?
America look good. Not just for the black women, but for white women.
I don't think anybody, Ms. Bingham, you have to say, no, that I think Condoleezza Rice is incredibly popular among all Americans because she puts a very positive face in our country. She is a woman of color, but she is very educated. She's brought along by a Republican president, which supposedly isn't supposed to happen. She's going to become the Secretary of State, which is one of the highest cabinet posts there is.
Madeleine Albright was a female.
But this is a young African-American female.
Clara,
who's not a Secretary
of State.
I
think that you are a jealous black woman.
I'm asking you about why she gets on Air Force One with the teeth of a sugarcane farmer. And a David Letterman hairdo and all of this. Why?
You're not making any sense. You're only talking about surface issues. You remind me of a woman that sits and reads through the magazine.
I'm glad I remind you of a woman.
But only looks at the pictures and never reads the article.
I know all about Condoleezza.
You're not a good representation of a black American woman.
How many black American women are beaver-like?
Beaver-like? What does that mean, beaver-like? See, the thing about it is that I think that you're upset about is that she does not represent the typical dark African American.
Oh, now you're getting into stratification based on skin color.
Because we had Halloween last month. Her features represent that somewhere back in the line, she has white and black mix.
I don't know whether Condoleezza Rice does or
more of America but, than you would if you were
all
black American.
And I will tell you something else, JJ, as a teacher. Last month, a child came into my class. He had the wax but. You know, you don't understand what it's like to be a teacher.
I am scared to death about the kids that you teach. You are so judgmental and so cleverly disguised as an educator, that you are spreading hate.
You have done nothing but insult me. I said I had a young man come into my class. He had wax teeth, the buck teeth. I told him to take those out.
That is so sad.
So what does that got to do with anything?
You attacked him because he has teeth that might need some work.
Well, I said, why does he get to walk along?
My father has a gap between his teeth. Are you going to judge me because my father has a gap?
No, I am not. I am saying, why did I have to tell that young man?
Are you going to say that my father is not intelligent?
Why did I have to tell that young man to take the Bubba teeth out, and yet she gets to ride on Air Force One? Why?
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
You are
Ms. Bingham, it's the whole reason why we are fixated in this culture on looks.
I am an African-American woman, and I'm talking to this young girl here doesn't know.
I am not a young girl.
You are a child.
I am college-educated.
Well, that doesn't mean you're not a child. And I'm looking at that Arthel Neville. She is another one of these children who thinks she got it all there. And she coked out her hair.
You know what I do?
And she irons her hair straight.
I take people like you to court and sue the pants off of
you
because of your racial discrimination. You are a racist person.
JJ, your daddy can hold a cigarette because...
Excuse me?
I said your daddy can hold a cigarette between his teeth. Good for him. I'm talking...
And I bet your grandma could, too.
Well, I think that's racist. I think...
I know!
All right, okay. All right, I gotta...
JJ, you must have something wrong with
JJ,
your family history.
Well, at least I don't conk my hair.
I'm sorry?
All right.
At least I
don't conk my hair.
Right.
Pump your hair?
Yeah. Look, JJ, thank you. That's an old term about... It's an old term having to do with straightening one's hair.
Well, that's what this young woman probably does every night. Puts a little bit of that conk juice on it,
All right, okay, look.
You are just
JJ,
pathetic.
Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. You've done nothing, Ms. Bingham, tonight but bait people.
I don't understand how I've done that, Mr. Henry, other than try to present... The straight kid, you know, Whoopi Goldberg had been a center square, all of the things she's accomplished. I've had people call me names. I have.
Well, you're talking about the space between Condoleezza Rice's teeth, and these are very surface issues that have nothing whatsoever to do with being Secretary of State. Michelle, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I agree with your last statement. It has nothing to do with having a position of such importance in our country. Ma'am, I am appalled that you have a position where you can influence children. And I don't care how old those children are.
I have been an educator for many, many years.
You may be an educator, but you are also influencing these children in a way that is totally inappropriate, regardless.
What have I said that is bad for a child?
What kind of influence you have on
them. I challenge you to tell me what I have said.
If you were a white woman, I challenge you to tell me
what I've said that has been negative for a child to hear. I challenge you to tell me.
Well, when you start comparing people purely on their outward appearance, and that justifies them as not being worthy of a position of importance, that's pretty absurd.
You said she was beaver-like.
I did not say that.
And what, you know, a lot of people who have that space in between their teeth, they want that space there. There's a model, and I think her name's Cheryl something. She has that there. That is something that they want. It's part of their being.
Well, if they
want to
win
issue.
A spitting contest at the county fair, that's one thing. But
I don't understand how a woman who is intelligent can make the comments you're making because it's completely bigoted and racist. And
oh, my God, that just shows how...
And if you don't
racist?
Like being called names, don't behave that way.
Well, look at what is racist about saying someone got Bucky Beaver teeth? That's not racist.
No, it's the other comments you have made about her being a woman who looks like this or who looks like that just because she doesn't fit your cookie.
I just want to know what the woman's sexual orientation is.
Business is it of yours?
Because I think Americans want to know, is this woman, you know, where
maybe you
want to
know, but I don't think Americans want to know.
Where does the woman
go?
Where does she go at night? Where does she get her laughs?
Does it matter to you?
Well, everyone knows what Whoopi Goldberg's orientation is.
And where do you, ma'am, where do you go at night?
I'm sorry?
Where do you go at night?
I go home to my husband. Thank you very much.
That's great. And so do a lot of women. But there's a lot of women who go home to an empty apartment, too.
Well, there's
it's
a lot of women who go home to an empty apartment until it's about
11
o'clock
married.
At night. Then they invite in all the girls with the ducktail haircuts.
And I think you know are these facts?
Oh,
are
man.
These facts, or
yeah,
these
see, that's
fantasies?
What it is. It's all conjecture.
Look,
it
here's the fact.
And
the
Bill,
fact is you could fly Air Force
Bill,
One between
Claire,
the gap and her teeth.
Bill, Claire.
Yes, ma'am. I'm right here. I'm right here, ma'am.
I'm just really, really disappointed in
yes,
you having on
that,
such
having
a
gap in your teeth that you could fly Air Force One through,
excuse
and yet
me.
I can't make any comment.
Would you let this lady finish, please? Go ahead, ma'am.
I just wanted to say that I'm really disappointed in your choice of people to have on the air. She's obviously putting on her worst side for the entertainment.
No,
value.
I am not, ma'am.
But there's a
I
whole lot of other people out there
say,
that could make just as much good entertainment as she does.
I would
not be so offensive.
Say, I would simply say that Condoleezza Rice.
Oh,
that's fine. You don't have to listen
Claire,
to me because you're
I'm
very,
so
very, you're very
I'm
close-minded.
So sorry for you.
You're very close-minded.
No.
Yes,
I'm
you are.
Coming, honey.
No,
I'm
you want Condoleezza Rice around the White House so she can open bottles.
You just don't have a clue.
That's the kind of person you are.
She never said that.
You don't know me.
This woman would like to have Condoleezza Rice around the White House so she can open bottles with those choppers.
No, my dear, and you are so immature. I can't even speak to somebody.
Unbelievable.
So
all right.
Good night. Thank
you, Michelle.
She's a very close-minded woman. I would like people to go online and visit our web address, Phil, and they can get more information about Joyful Union Congregation Middle School. We do teach non-traditional.
Condoleezza Rice is around the White House because she can open bottles? I mean,
I want to get to the bottom of why she was named Secretary of State when Whoopi Goldberg...
What's Whoopi Goldberg got to do with being Secretary of State? You know,
she was the middle square...
I know she's the middle square in Hollywood Square. It doesn't qualify her.
And I will not be spoken to that way, Mr. Henry.
All right, I'm sorry. I don't mean to yell, but... You're not going to have an intelligent debate.
But Condoleezza got one less dollar from the tooth fairy than the other kids.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, you can email Clara Bingham at clarabingham@philhendryshow.com if you want to talk to her further about this. That's Clara Bingham. How do you spell your last name, Clara? I'm sorry, Clara, how do you spell it?
I forget.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Whitney Houston's dealer. The Phil Hendry Show is back. Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, I'm going to tell you something, pal. You know what? I'll look you in the eyeball. I don't care if you're gay or if you're not gay. Hey, you're very disrespectful for woman. I'm a man.
I'm smoking a cigarette. I got to smoke a cigarette, okay? It's not illegal to smoke a cigarette in a public place.
I don't care. I'm not saying that.
All right?
I'm not saying that. You're over here talking to women. I'm a man. I weigh 265 pounds. And I'll bust you right in the damn mouth.
All right.
How's that?
Okay, so you're 265 pounds of donut oil. Good for you.
You think I'm donut oil?
You sound like a long, cool drink of water to me, buddy.
All right, gentlemen.
No, wait, here's the thing. I'm smoking a cigarette in a perfectly legal place. Up comes Cowboy Billy here, and he says to me, put it out. I say, hey, I'm gay. You going to tell me to put it out now? And he says, yeah. And then
I don't care if you're gay.
Eyeball to eyeball with me, man. He'll back off.
I don't care if you're... What's it got to do with you being gay?
You know what I can hear?
You know what you are? You're hiding. You're like all these other people want to hide behind
hiding?
Sexuality.
Hey, look.
And we're all supposed to back off.
Hey, look. You tell me that you don't have a crueler lodged in your throat right now, man. I can hear a glazed donut lodged in your esophagus.
What?
All right.
Look. I'm
going to tell you something.
You know I'm gay?
I don't care if you're gay or not.
But do you know I'm gay?
My wife's pregnant, and if my wife's pregnant and you're smoking a cigarette... What the hell are you doing, taking phone calls on a talk show?
Yeah, I'm trying to get a little conversation going here instead of being yelled at here by Cowboy Billy and his pregnant wife. And what you doing bringing another kid into the world anyway before you can hardly afford the ones you got? Now, the thing...
Hold on for a minute. All of this is... this is personal stuff, okay?
You don't know me, number one.
How's your wife going to get pregnant with her belly in the way?
Well, let me ask you a question, jerk. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm glad you're gay. You know why? Because you can't...
Turn off the phone, will you?
Species.
What?
You can't perpetuate your species. Hey, well, I'm glad you're gay, because you can't have any kids that's going to act like kids.
It's too bad. We might be able to bring some bright people into this world instead of just one more kid's going to be sailing chain-link fence for a living.
I'll tell you what, I've listened to a lot of talk shows in my life, and I've never been so mad at calling one up like this.
Oh, bullcrap. You're good. You'll get over it, man.
Told a lady before me, you're going to kick her teeth in.
Hey, she comes up to me. She comes up to me and calls me a faggot. I'll kick her ass around a block for drill and her husband, too. Then I'll knock down the back door, kick her Doberman pincher in the teeth, and have her cook me an omelet. Calm down. You're going to stroke out and spit up your donuts.
You're a big man on the phone,
okay,
brother.
Guys.
I can tell you're one of those big men on the phone, but face-to-face with your little homo eyes.
Hey, dude.
If I walked up to you, I guarantee you that cigarette out.
Hey, let me tell you what.
I'd stuff it up your nose.
Hey, you know what? That's big talk, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I got the gay eye. You want to look me in the gay eye?
I'll poke your damn gay eye out.
All right, look at that. Guys, you know what this is? This is nothing more than a fist fight, okay? This is a bar fight you guys are engaged in.
This guy said to
me, he's got no respect for people.
What are you talking about? This lady called me faggot? Are you kidding me, man? I would kick her ass.
Let me ask you something. If the shoe fits, wear it.
Hey, tell me if the shoe fits here. Now, let me ask you something. The first sexual experience you had, was with it a heifer or was it a goat?
I'm not even going to dignify that remark.
Look, man, I'm sorry if I'm insulting your girlfriends, okay? But
it's not my girlfriend. It's my wife, you idiot.
That's the first sexual experience you had.
And what are you doing it with? You must be doing it with a dog.
Not a dog, a human being. Okay, look at man. Cows are for milking and making steaks out of, not for making love to.
You know what?
I wish to God you come to Alabama and you come blow smoke in my face and find out what's going
to
happen.
Now, why would I want to come to Alabama other than to drive through on the way to Atlanta?
All right.
You're right. We don't want you here. You're probably in damn San Francisco where you belong.
No, I'm in Los Angeles, okay?
Yeah,
The only reason why I go through Alabama.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
A gentleman joins us on our newsmaker line tonight who has filed the suit's been filed yet, and we'll ask him in a moment, a lawsuit. I only saw, Mr. Bozell, a cursory information about it in the L.A. Times. If you could fill us in, Stephen Bozell joins us, and thank you, sir, first of all, for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having us on.
Tell me how far along you've progressed in this legal action that is involving a neighbor of yours.
We're putting finishing touches on what we will present to the court on Monday. It's a lawsuit alleging reckless endangerment and trespassing.
Now, the story begins with you and your son, in your words, having a conversation about personal safety that was taken out of context.
Yes, sir, that is correct. If you want me to tell it.
Go ahead and, in your own words, tell us.
On Thursday of last week, my son, Stephen Jr., and I went over to the Bonds shopping grocery store in Corona, California, to purchase a frozen turkey for the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday. We transported the turkey in my vehicle to the corner of Shenley and Alvarado, which is in the city of Corona. It was at that time my son engaged me in a conversation about childhood pranks and so on that he and his friends had engaged in. It was at that time that I told him these pranks could get him very seriously hurt. One of them was he and his friends jumping off the roof of houses.
Okay.
And so on. As we were talking about this, I told him that he couldn't that he could break his bones and so on and so forth. So the boy was very disinterested, my son was, and was seemingly discounting what I said. And I told him that I would show him, and we proceeded home. I went into our garage, I got out a ladder, and I went to the roof of our house, and my intention was to drop this frozen turkey off the roof of the house to show the boy that he could break bones. The turkey itself contains bones and so forth. And
so this turkey would be a facsimile of him jumping off the roof to see what happens to it?
That is correct, yes. It was at that time I dropped the turkey from the roof of the house, and then I went down to look at it. Because of its frozen condition, nothing happened to it. Additionally, my neighbor, Mr. Roy Hutchins...
All right, before you mention him, you dropped the turkey off the roof, and it really wasn't banged up at all, huh?
No, sir, it was not. So I dropped the turkey off the roof. I had my son stand there to look. And then I come down to look at it and see what happened to it. And at that time, my neighbor, Mr. Roy Hutchins,
who is also named in the suit.
Yes, sir, he is. Was on the east end of his property watching this, and he began to laugh. And when he began to laugh, my son also started to laugh. The effect of which was obviously to humiliate me while I was trying to teach my son a very valuable lesson. Mr. Hutchins then referred to me, and I've made note of this in my lawsuit, he referred to me as Evel Knievel.
And for people who, if I could interrupt, sir?
Yes.
For people who don't, Evel Knievel was a famous daredevil who used to jump his motorcycle over trucks and things.
Yes, sir.
And you considered that derogatory?
Well, I did, because after he called me Evel Knievel, he told my son that it was more likely that my son would get hurt having me, his father, drop a turkey on him than him jumping off a roof, the very thing I was telling him not to do.
Were the kids jumping off of roofs? I know when your son said that you were their kids were jumping off of roofs, were they jumping into hay or foam rubber or something like that?
No, sir. My understanding is they were trying to jump into a neighbor's pool from the roof of their of that man's house.
Okay, that's really dangerous.
Absolutely.
And so in order to teach your boy this could hurt him, you were going to use this turkey as a sort of facsimile person, as I said, since it has bones in it, to show what can happen to a person?
Yes, sir. And I dropped it off the roof. And I went down and I looked at it, and nothing happened to it, which was humiliating enough, but then this man Hutchins made his comments.
All right, now you're at the suit is asking a judge to force this man to vacate his property. It charges him with willful and reckless endangerment because of his laughing at you. It and minimizes the lessons you're teaching your son, correct?
That is correct.
And why the trespassing?
My attorney tells me that at the instant he laughed at me and made fun of me, he was technically butting into my business. And my attorney can explain that, but it is technically a trespass on my property if he butts into my business like that. And the reason why I'm bringing this lawsuit, Mr. Henry, I'm bringing it on behalf of millions of parents who are trying to keep their children safe and are trying to teach their children to act in a responsible and safe manner, and many times are undercut or subverted by neighbors, teachers, friends who stand there and laugh at you and make fun of you while you're trying to do that.
All right, now, our number is on the Phil Hendry Show. If we could give the number out, Mr. Bozell, I'm sure there are people would have some comments for you. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. As a parent, I understand about you wanting to teach safety. Do you find that dropping a frozen turkey from the roof of your house might have been the main inspiration for this man's comments?
I don't know what you mean by that. What I'm saying.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You said you dropped this turkey to show your son the damage that could happen to him.
Yes, I did. And because the turkey has bones in it, the turkey would be like my son, and I threw it down at the ground. I picked it over my head, and I just chucked it down as hard as I could right at the driveway. And then I pulled it, and then when nothing happened to it, then I got up and I threw it down on the cement around our pool, and nothing happened to it then. And that's when Mr. Hutchins was over the fence making fun of me and laughing at me. We're trying to teach our children safety, and this man says, he calls me Evel Knievel, and said it's more likely that my son's going to get hurt by me throwing a turkey at my son. Additionally, my wife came out, and my wife is April Bozell. She came out. She said to me, you have a phone call. I mentioned this to my attorney, and my attorney said, well, that showed a very willful disregard for what the lesson I was trying to teach my son by telling me I got a phone call in the middle of me being laughed at and the humiliation.
Well, you're not suing your wife.
No, I'm not. But what I'm saying is it shows how many wives, many women in marriages, when a father's trying to teach the son a lesson, how they'll dismiss it and not treat it as if it's serious.
All right, because you got a wife and a neighbor here. Now, the wife came out and said you got a phone call. You took that to mean what?
I took that to mean, and I was right in taking it to mean, she didn't care about the lesson I was teaching my boy. She didn't care about the fact that my neighbor was there making fun of me and everything, and calling me Evel Knievel and all of this. She didn't care that I had thrown a turkey on the driveway trying to get it to get messed up because I wanted to show my son. At that point, I went into the house, and I looked in, and my wife had purchased a bone-in roast, and because it had the bones, it was a rib roast, actually, and so I took that up on the roof and threw it off, and nothing happened to that. So all the while, I'm being subjected to humiliation while I'm trying to teach my son a lesson.
Yeah, but can I just jump in here, sir?
And I know what you're going to say, Mr. Henry, and I've gotten this from other people in the news media interviewed me about throwing this stuff off the roof of my house.
I mean, well, but you are. You're going to the roof of your house, tossing off a turkey, then you tossed off a rib roast just to see if the bones will break to try to teach your son this lesson. Now, I agree. Kids jumping off the roof of a house trying to hit a swimming pool can hurt themselves very, very badly.
All right.
But I'm not saying you shouldn't be suing, but I take it that you are upset by the laughter of your neighbor, and the first reaction, wouldn't it be normal to laugh at a guy who's throwing, you know, a turkey or meat or a rib roast off the roof of his house?
Well, I suppose you could laugh if I said to him, I said, well, if my wife had just cooked it and tried to serve it for dinner, and now I go up to the roof and throw it off the roof, I guess I could say my wife's a bad cook, but it wasn't even cooked up. See, if it was cooked up, then he'd have a right to laugh, but it was raw and hadn't been cooked.
Which means that you weren't making fun of your wife's cooking.
Exactly. What I was trying to do is teach my son safety, and I was trying to teach my son responsibility, and I got a neighbor who's laughing at me. Now, I will say, with the greatest of respect for people across the country, I think I speak for millions of parents, next-door neighbors too often inject themselves into situations that got nothing to do with them. They laugh at you. They lean over the fence and make fun of you. And I speak for millions of Americans saying it's time for it to stop. If I want to be on the roof of my house throwing a turkey off of it or doing anything I want, he has no right to stand there and laugh at me and call me Evel Knievel or all of these things that he's calling me. And plus, my son hears this and repeats it at school to his friends.
Has your son been mocking you at school?
My son said, yeah, my dad was throwing a turkey off the roof. And, you know, and this kind of made the rounds.
All right, Steve Ozell is with me from Corona, California. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. In attempting to teach his son a lesson about safety and not jumping off of roofs, he threw a turkey off the roof of his house, and apparently the bones didn't break, or something happened, but he was laughed at by his neighbor, humiliated, and his wife dismissed it all by telling him to come into the house and get a phone call to the effect that he felt dismissed and humiliated. He's bringing a lawsuit based on primarily on the grounds that his neighbor, like millions of neighbors across America, are sticking their noses into people's personal affairs, leaning over the back fence and laughing. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. If you're a neighbor like this or you have neighbors like this, but Mr. Bozell feels that in trying to teach his son a lesson on safety, his neighbor humiliated him. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
It's going to take a pretty significantly large pair to sue me.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Did you, Mr. Bozell, did you talk to the people at Vons?
I called the people at Vons. I said that the turkey they'd sold me was frozen, which I did know it was frozen at the time, but I told them that I had thrown it off of the roof. I explained to the man everything I did. I was trying to teach my son a lesson in safety, and I threw the turkey off the roof of the house. The turkey was not damaged, but it did get obviously soiled and made contaminated, and I wanted a free turkey, and they had denied that. So really, the lawsuit is multifaceted in terms of suing my neighbor because of the humiliation and everything that he'd done. And Vons is refusing to replace the turkey.
But you had willingly thrown it off the roof.
I understand that, but I had done that in an effort to teach my son a lesson. I tried to explain that to the store manager. And
could you not just take it into the house and rinse it off if it didn't get damaged?
Well, it had gotten into some motor oil and some sawdust and things that had been sitting on the driveway. So I did not. I felt that it was impurified.
All right, Mr. Stephen Bozell joins us. He was trying to teach his son a lesson about safety. His son was jumping off the roofs of houses, and he took a turkey to throw it off the roof of the house, thinking that the turkey would be like a human being; it could break bones. He was laughed at by a neighbor. You say your son also laughed?
Well, my son was inspired by laughing when this guy called me Evel Knievel. The worst part of it, though, was when my wife came out and said, you got a phone call, and I said, you know,
Tell me about that. She came out, she said, you got a phone call, and how did that strike you?
Well, I mean, it struck me the way it would any man. I looked at her and I said, don't you understand what I'm trying to do here? I'm trying to teach my son. And she waved her hand as if to say, you're an idiot. So she dismissed me, called me an idiot. It's emasculating. And that's also what I'm talking about.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Rich, go ahead.
I just had to call, Phil, because this guy is an idiot. Listen, dude. Your own wife.
Well, you're calling people names. That's not going to get you any place. We have to intellectually talk about it.
Well, listen, you know, you sound almost lucid sometimes, but just listen to what you did. Your own wife is laughing at you. The neighbor's laughing at
you. My
wife did not. She's laughing at you because you're a moron. Anybody knows with any kind of sense, you don't throw a frozen turkey off and expect some kind of physiological change to it. How tall is the roof there, genius?
Hey, my wife didn't laugh at me. She dismissed me. Also, if you're trying to teach your son a lesson about safety, he'd been jumping off of rooftops into swimming pools. I don't think that's the time to be laughing at a man.
Let's back up there for a moment there, genius, because
I'll tell you what, redneck. You know, you want to call me names and everything like that.
If you had antebrain, your boy wouldn't be jumping off that pool. Obviously, you aren't the parent of the year.
So you don't. So your kids do everything right all the time.
Well, maybe, my kids ain't jumping off the roof, I'll tell you that.
How do you know?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, got you there, man. Got you there, genius.
That's
right.
Well, listen,
you don't know.
I'm not the one who's on the radio being an idiot because you're throwing meat off. Hey, on the bottom line is you threw out two good meals just to give that boy a lesson, and he's still going to jump off the pool. Your wife's laughing at you. The neighbors laughing at you. The entire country's laughing at you. Why do you think our courts are so messed up because of morons like you filing frivolous lawsuits over said? Let me ask you this. How much money do you think you're going to get off this there, brain surgeon?
I'll tell you what, rocket scientist. My attorney says that $500,000, minimum $50,000, for inflicting emotional distress. Which could wind up hurting my son in the long run, because if my son doesn't get that lesson, he winds up jumping off of a roof and conking his head on the coping of a pool. My friend there, this guy Hutchins, who calls me Evel Knievel, all that, he's going to have blood on his hands.
I bet you're paying that lawyer up front, aren't you? That lawyer's taking you just like everybody else. He's laughing. I bet you he walked in there to the people in the law firm and said, "Wait, do you hear about this fish I got on the line? You're an idiot. You're not going to get a dollar."
Just to show what kind of guy you are, it's a female, Dolores Blazengame, and I've been doing business with her for 15 years.
Oh, listen to Gloria Steinem here. You're the one who's telling me that women got to do this and women got to do that. And I'm disrespectful.
If you come out and you see your kid and his brains are all over the side of a swimming pool because he jumped off a roof, don't blame me. Don't come crying to me about it.
Yeah, well, that won't happen. That won't happen to me because I'm not as...
The idea, if I could jump in here, the idea here is that the lawsuit may seem frivolous from the standpoint you're suing for emotional distress.
Look, this guy thinks it's funny because I threw a rib roast off of a roof. I'm trying to teach my boy a lesson.
You threw a rib roast? You said you threw a turkey?
Because they're like people.
Right. You've been watching too much Quincy there, pal. They're not like people.
Okay.
First of all, how many people you know walk around and frozen, you moron?
Okay. This guy on the phone right now is just like this neighbor I'm suing. In that he...
So your neighbor kind of yells at you like this?
Yeah, he makes fun of me, calls me all kinds of names, like this guy.
Well, I'll tell you what. You all look in the mirror and say, now why is it that everybody's laughing at me? I'm telling you. I pulled off the highway, Phil.
Okay, what do you want me to do, sir? Do you want me to throw my wife off the roof? Maybe next time I'll throw my wife off the roof, and then you'll think everything's okay with that.
All right, okay.
Maybe you ought to throw yourself off the roof, because you're about as bright as a frozen turkey.
All right, Rich, thank you for your call.
If I could jump in, sir?
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you how to do your show. I don't want to talk to anybody who is going to make fun of me or anything like that. I'm trying to teach my son a lesson.
No, I understand, and I have your lawsuit here. That man was, he found it amusing on some level. Here is Lenny. Lenny, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay. The comment that I'd like to make is that getting up on a roof and throwing a turkey off of it is really not the way to teach your child anything. You're up on the roof being dangerous. And you throw a turkey off, and if I was your neighbor, I'd probably laugh too. Hey, there's a guy throwing a turkey off, and if I knew the guy, he'd probably look at me and start laughing too, and and that's the way to go. And, you know, you're worried about being humiliated, but then you come on down, and then you go back up with the rib roast. It makes no sense. And, you know, if your feelings are hurt by something that you did,
I came down because the turkey.
That's a personal problem to me.
Ma'am, I came down because the turkey didn't get messed up enough, so I went down and I got the rib roast, which does have bones in it, and I threw that off the roof.
Yeah, and your wife said, get in here, you're an idiot.
No, my wife said
this. Why do you think it's so hard to believe that your neighbor would be doing that when your wife is?
She did not call me an idiot. She said, there's someone on the phone. And
but why do you find fault with that?
Because she's telling me there's someone on the phone, and I'm trying to teach my son a lesson while a guy's laughing at me.
No, I thought a few minutes ago that you said your wife came out and said, come in here, you're an idiot.
No, she did not say but she was dismissing me as if I was some kind of an emasculated idiot.
Okay, so you have this thing about your wife is humiliating you, your neighbor's humiliating you, you're humiliating yourself, sir.
How am I humiliating myself?
Going up on a roof, throwing a turkey off. You're humiliated because your neighbor laughs, and then you go do something even more stupid, getting a roast. Going back up on the roof, asking for more, and then they're humiliating me.
Ma'am, I believe I represent a lot of homeowners, and I notice the host is not saying anything.
You know what? You think you represent a lot of Americans, like you said, but I don't think you represent Jack.
Well, in a lot of ways, Mr. Bozell, I'm not interjecting because I want the callers to say what they want to say, but I think the lady's making some good points. I thank you for your call.
Well, I don't think you understand what it is to be a homeowner.
And I am a homeowner, and I am a father. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Mr. Stephen Bozell. We'll be right back. All right, I'm back with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. Now, the story is, you were trying to teach your son a lesson about safety and how he could hurt himself jumping off the roof of a house. You took a turkey that you had purchased at the store, you threw it off the roof, your neighbor laughs, your son laughs, your wife comes out and says you're wanted on the phone and you feel she's dismissive of you.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
And then you went into the house, took your belt off, and hit her with your belt. Isn't that right?
I did it away from the vision of my neighbor. I did not raise a welt on my wife.
Now, hold on for a minute. That you cannot hit a person. You certainly can't hit your own wife.
No, you can't leave a mark. It was a very old... Mr. Trainer, I was born and raised in Knoxville, Tennessee. I took my belt off, and I said, you've humiliated me, and I lashed it across the back of her thighs a couple of times. Now, that is not the same thing as beating your wife. And she's still, and to prove it, she was still laughing at me.
So you came down, you got off the roof, pulled off your belt, hit her with it, and she still laughed?
Yeah, she's still laughing at me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Megan, go ahead, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I just can't believe the way that you're treating your wife, and this is even before...
What are you talking about? She's the one that laughed at me.
The last comment that you made, I think it's interesting that when a man is disciplining his son, especially, and the wife is dismissive of that, and she is emasculating you. However, when a mother is trying to discipline her son, men are often dismissive and say, oh, boys will be boys.
Well, I'm not talking about men. I'm just talking about my situation. And my situation was she laughed at me. And then I came down, I pulled my belt off.
She didn't laugh at you. You said 3 minutes ago she didn't laugh at you.
She was dismissive of me, as if the phone call was more important.
You took that as laughter?
I'm sorry?
You took that as her laughing at you?
It's humiliating, yeah. Like, oh, come on, get the phone call and forget about all your stupid throwing a rib roast off the roof. And I'm trying to save my son's life by throwing that meat off the roof.
I think you have more to worry about in your son's future than him jumping off of the roof and hurting himself.
Oh, ma'am, safety is number one among children. You've got to teach your children to be safe.
What about the safety of your son's future wife and children when you are hitting his mother because you feel she's being dismissive of the disciplinary lesson?
I spanked her with a belt a little bit. I pulled my belt off, and I folded it over.
And you folded it over in what?
And I took a couple of swats at her.
And you don't
She's laughing at me. And she still laughed at me.
She'll laugh back.
Do you know how...
She hit you?
What's that?
She take off her belt and hit you because she thought your idea was stupid. She laughed at you. So laugh back.
Okay.
Why? There is never an excuse to hit your wife, especially with a belt.
No one laughs at me.
Okay, I think you have bigger problems.
Wow.
Than your son jumping off the roof.
Why is that? Okay, oh, I get it. So now the two of you, Mr. Henry and you, ma'am, you both think I'm loopy. Is that it? You think I'm nuts?
I
think you got some emotional.
I think you have a problem if you're taking off your belt and hitting your wife.
Okay, but look it. How come even when I pull my belt off and I hit my wife with it, she's still laughing? Isn't that entitled me to get even madder?
What are you talking about, man? I mean, you hit her with a belt and she still laughed. Did you hit her hard?
No, I didn't hit her that hard.
Well, obviously you didn't because she's laughing at you. And that entitles you to be even more angry.
Yeah.
Maybe she's the one who thinks you're nuts, and that's why she's laughing at you.
What did I do
know.
That makes me nuts? I threw a rib roast off of a roof.
I'm not even talking about that. My whole comment is about the way you've treated your wife.
All of a sudden, it's about the way I treat my wife. I pulled my belt off, and I beat her with it. And now the two of you...
You pull your belt off and beat her with it, man.
And that's okay?
You want to dismiss that as being...
It's not okay, but even after I beat her as hard as I could, she's still laughing.
So you beat her as hard as you could.
And
I thought you didn't hit her that hard.
Well, apparently I didn't because she, and that's what I mean. She emasculated me.
All right. So you beat her as hard as you could with a folded over belt, and she laughed.
Yeah.
What did you do after that?
I just got in my truck and I drove. I don't know how far or how long. I just drove and drove.
I think you need to think about what it means to be a man. It's not throwing.
Oh, so now you're calling me a sissy too. So after all of what I said, you're calling me a sissy.
I didn't call you a sissy.
No, she's not calling
you a
sissy, man.
I said you need to think about what it means to be a man. It's not beating your wife and thinking that's a good way to teach her and or your son a lesson.
Well, obviously it's not when she falls on the couch laughing. Obviously it's not.
Yeah, I would think so. You beat her as hard as you could with a belt and she was laughing.
Yeah.
Did she call the police?
Nope. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, you ought to be thankful she didn't call the cops, man.
Why?
Because you'd be in jail, dude. You'd be in jail.
Nobody wants to see my side of it. Everybody just wants to laugh at me. Ha, ha, ha. I beat you with a belt. Ha, ha, ha. I throw a turkey off a roof. Ha, ha. I throw off a rib roast. Ha, ha. Then my wife says, look, there's another guy back there laughing. I hate everybody here. I hate the world. If I hear anybody else laugh, I'm going to get pissed. Look at
it. Was he in a bar or something?
Hey, shut up, man. Because you're laughing at me. I'll beat you with a belt. You'll probably still laugh because I don't hit very hard, apparently.
Man, oh man, oh man. Mr. Stephen Bozell beat his wife with a belt and she laughed. I think that's all we need to say. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
If Dracula bit you and you were wearing a garlic necklace, wouldn't you sue the garlic farmer? You savvy?
...1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We thank Mr. Bozell for joining us. Speaking of lawsuits, there's probably going to be about five or six around this incident tonight in Auburn Hills, Michigan. Indiana's Rod Artest and Steven Jackson charged into the stands and fought with fans in the final minute of their game against the Detroit Pistons on Friday night. The brawl forced an early and ugly end to the Pacers' 97-82 win. Officials stopped the game with 45.9 seconds remaining after pushing and shoving between the teams spilled into the stands and fans began throwing things at the players near the scorer's table. It's the ugliest thing I've ever seen as a coach or player, said Pistons coach Larry Brown, who was in the middle of the confrontation trying to break it up. That's always really interesting when you're... Of course, Larry Brown's not a midget. He's a former player, but you get into the middle of some big, strong, younger men, you're going to wind up losing half of your face.
You remember what happened to Rudy Tomjanovich when he just walked into a punch thrown by, I think it was Kermit Washington. Well, you guys don't remember. You're too young. But I don't even think Washington was looking to hit Tomjanovich. But Tomjanovich walked into a full haymaker, just a full roundhouse from Kermit Washington. And, I mean, that guy caved in every bone in the side of that guy's face. The Palace announcer said the game was being stopped and pleaded with fans not to throw things. It all started... You're probably wondering when it all started. It all started when Detroit's Ben Wallace went in for a layup and was fouled hard by Artest from behind. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this guy's name right. I'm not a basketball fan, per se. At least I ain't following the season this year. Wallace wheeled around and pushed Artest in the face. The benches emptied and punches were thrown. As the players continued shoving each other near center court and the coaches tried to restore order, Artest sprawled out on his back on the scorer's table, looking relaxed. Just when it appeared tempers had died down, Artest was struck by a full cup thrown from the stands. You got to hand it to a guy with that kind of an arm to keep the beer in the cup, throw it, and it hits the guy. He jumped up, charged into the stands, throwing punches as he climbed over seats. Now, that was the guy's first mistake. The guy that threw the beer, as we were just sitting here talking, probably will lose his season tickets if that's the guy who owns the seats. Probably the worst news is that some dude who owns those seats lent them out for the night. Or maybe the guy went to a broker and had them scalped legally. Either way, whoever owns those seats don't own them no more. Kiss off courtside seats, man, at the Palace for the Pistons. Nice going. Just when it appeared, so I mentioned that fans were punching back and Jackson, another teammate, joined Artest in the melee. Detroit's Rasheed Wallace and Indiana's David Harrison were also in or near the stands at the time. As the crowd roared, drinks and debris showered the court and the Pacers players covered their heads as they hustled through the runway leading to the locker room. Now listen to this. A man in a Pistons jersey approached Artest on the court with fists raised, shouting at him. Some drunk fan. Artest punched him in the face, knocked him to the floor before leaving the court. Artest was pulled away, and the fan charged back. O'Neal stepped in and punched the man. The NBA is withholding comment until it can review the incident. NBA spokesman Tim Frank said Pistons spokesman Tom Wilson said he did not believe anyone would be arrested. Players from both teams left without comment. But somebody's going to get sued because there's going to be a fan or two in the middle of all of this who sees a payday. Even if it was this juice hound that threw the punch. You know, no fan should be on the floor. No player should be in the stands. Let's just get clear on that. No player should go into the stands. For whatever reason, you're going to have to let security handle it. If for only... unless, of course, security ain't handling it. And you are fearing for your life. But probably in that instance, just get the hell off the floor, man. Go into the locker room. Go into the tunnel.
Must have been energized beer if the guy got up after getting punched.
What? What are you talking about?
It must have been like Red Bull.
What do you mean, Red Bull beer?
Well, a guy got knocked down by some guy that's 8 feet tall, then he gets up and comes back again?
Yeah, that's right, bud. They're selling Red Bull and vodka there at the Palace in Auburn Hills. I don't know.
How about Hercules beer? Ever heard of that?
Is he telling me the truth? Is there such a thing as energized beer?
I don't know. If there isn't, I'd sell it.
Yeah, okay, man, you work on that. You go out and get yourself one of those big vitamin-injected beer stands.
I just wonder how that guy get up, man.
Maybe he's got a plate in his head like you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Jesus. The NBA's withholding comment, so... And then another story here, it says the... basically the same thing. So anyway, look. You're a player, you go into the stands, you're in big trouble. Like I said, unless you think your life is seriously in danger, in which case, get the hell off the floor. Because if you're going to go up to the stands and take on a fan, you don't know what those fans are holding or what those fans are capable of doing. You don't know if one of those guys has got a knife, is carrying a gun, whatever. I know they do a big check at the gate or at the door or whatever. Just even if the guy's got a sap on him, man, he puts it upside your head, it'll knock you out cold. Your player, you go to the stands, you're crazy. By the same token, you're a fan going down onto the floor? What are you, stupid? Just like that, like Mark and Chris were talking about the giant snowball fight. And was that about 96 or 5? I think I was still in Miami.
at the Meadowlands, some fans, it had been snowing heavily before the game and the day before, tons of snow in the stands, and I don't know if the Giants were losing the game, if that's what got things started, but the fans started just pelting snowballs onto the field. I mean, really rocketing some shots onto the field. They also started throwing snowballs up into the press box where I think it was at that, yeah, Fox was broadcasting. Pat Summerall was still doing the games. I remember seeing Summerall sitting there running for cover, man. I mean, he was like, all right, this is Pat Summerall. Suddenly, whap, you know. And he and the other guy, John Madden, are trying to laugh it off like it's all good fun. But they're trying to analyze the game. Well, while they get this thing under control, and some dude threw a strike right up into the press box with this snowball. So anyway, it comes out like the next, which you guys say the Daily News? The next day, one of the jackasses throwing a snowball is captured dead to rights in a photograph in the New York Daily News. Just with the full Roger Clemens windup, you know, see, like the whole front picture of the guy, his face, his arm, everything. There he is. Well, guess what? And let me tell you something. New York Giants season tickets, there's a waiting list of about 30 years. 30 years for New York Giants season tickets. Guess what a brain surgeon lost? He lost his season tickets. Season tickets the family has probably had for years. Although, on the bright side, some dude that's been on that list for 30 years just got himself season tickets. But you're a fan, you go down to the floor, you must be out of your freaking mind. That guy got hit twice. Now, I got money that says there's going to be lawsuits. You know as well as I do. Someone's going to sue someone. Some fan will sue. And, however, I'll tell you this much. If I'm a fan, and I'm sitting there with my kid, and I'm suddenly innocently caught in the middle of a melee between a player and another fan behind me, and I get kicked in the head or my kid gets kicked as this dumbass comes crawling up through the seats trying to get at the fan, what? Why wouldn't I sue? However, there's also one other thing. The nature of a sporting event does not guarantee your safety. If you look at a baseball ticket, you can't sue, for instance, if you got a line drive foul ball right off your face. You can't sue for that. Your attendance at the game acknowledges that incidental to attending this game, there is the possibility of injury. For instance, in basketball, I'm not talking about a guy going to the stands to kick ass on some fan, but when those guys are hustling after a ball, a loose ball, and you've seen it happen a million times, guy's hustling after a loose ball, he goes flying into the stands, somebody gets kicked in the face with a size 68 sneaker, next thing you know, the guy's wearing Nike on his kisser for their Puma right on his face for the rest of his life. You can't sue because of that. New England Patriots years ago had a cheerleading squad, one of whom got injured when, I forget who the running back was, and it was like Mosey Tatupu, one of those brain, you know, those worthless guys they had in those days. Anyway, Tatupu runs out of bounds and bowls over a cheerleader in the process. She sues the New England Patriots, her employer. You know, I say employer, $15 a game. Guess what the Patriots' response to that was? They disbanded the cheerleaders. They said, well, you know what? We don't even want to deal with this, so no more cheerleaders. There was a girl in Columbus, Ohio last year, that's right, Chris, who died from a slap shot. A hockey puck flew into the stands, hit this poor kid, she died. The guy that hit the shot, and I forget who it was, he was absolutely just comatose, paralyzed, after he heard what had happened. I mean, the poor man, he didn't mean to hurt anybody. He, you know, the puck bounces off of a stick, off of the top of the glass, it goes into the stand, somebody gets hit, next thing you know, someone's dead. All of these things happen at sporting events, and we forget. When I was a kid, I was at a hockey game at the sports arena with my old man, and I hear the puck go off the stick, and a woman scream three rows in front of me. She got nailed right in the face with the puck. So there's a doctor sitting next to us. He gets up, goes down there. He comes back as a Swedish guy. We said, how is she? He goes, well, she'll have a black eye for Christmas, but she'll be all right. Or maybe he was German. What is this, Chris? Anheuser-Busch is the first major brewer to infuse beer with caffeine, guarana, and ginseng. Did you read this, bud?
That's it. That's the article what I was reading. Look at it. It's all about, yeah, that's it. I knew that. I knew I wasn't insane. That's the one I was reading.
All right, well, it says here that Anheuser-Busch is going to infuse beer with caffeine.
Yeah, guano and ginseng.
Doesn't say guano.
What's the difference?
Guano is bat crap.
Is that what they're putting in it?
They ain't putting bat crap in it. They're putting guarana in it.
Well, what the hell's that?
I don't know.
Sounds like guana.
Well balanced with select hops and aromas of blackberry, raspberry, and cherry, BE will offer a lightly sweet and tart taste. A great mixture of beer and new flavors for adults to enjoy when out with friends at a club or at a bar, after work with colleagues. Wow!
I told you it's energized beer. I told you. I knew I wasn't crazy. I knew it.
Good for you, man. Here, why don't you go out and get me a case of this stuff, okay?
I'm not old enough.
1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll see you Monday with Bob Green.